Okay, our agenda is here. On the agenda today, we have RDF Issue 129, Lossless Conversion, Issue 133, Reverse Properties, Issue 134, Blank Node Labeling, and 135, the Government Linked Data's Working Group Feedback on the spec. We might want to reorder some of the agenda items, maybe taking 133 first and then the blank load labeling, which I don't think we're going to really be able to come to any conclusion on, and then after that, lossless conversion. Are there any updates or changes to the agenda? Perhaps, Vikash, we might want to talk a bit about your schedule and what you're intending to do over the next rest of the summer. Okay.
Yeah.
Let's pick that up first and spend about 5 or 10 minutes on that. Any other changes to the agenda that people would like? Okay, first up on the agenda is Vikash's Summer of Code. Vikash, maybe you could fill us in on what's your plan for working on this stuff is for the rest of the summer, as well as what you plan to work on. So what's the first problem that you're thinking of tackling, and then what do you need from the group to get that done?
Okay, so first of all, thank you very much for the selection and for the approval as a participant in the GSOC. As per the proposal, I'll start with the website. I guess a page, I already shared a couple of pages or more, which I had done earlier. So I'll finish the website first and start pushing it. And maybe by next week or next to next week, the new website should be up.
Great. Fantastic.
For one help that I would need from the community is, I was not able to test it, on IE, and it was reported that there's some breakage, a breaking up of the code in IE. So I still have to figure that out, because on Firefox and Chrome and Safari, it's very much easy to for me to test on those platforms.
Okay. Do you have access to a VirtualBox, or can you run VirtualBox on your PC?
I use that. I'll use an Modern IE was a pretty big download, so that wasn't able to complete, I guess.
Oh, that's right. Okay, I got you.
There was around 32 GBs or something.
Okay, and then I think Dave Longley has given a link to something that you can use to test IE.
I think that might be what he's talking about with the download being very large.
Yeah, I was talking about this, the Modern IE. The download is pretty huge.
I don't think that we should let IE hold us up in releasing the site, so I'd much rather release a site that's broken in IE and works in Chrome and Firefox than wait off and try to get it working in IE. I think eventually we do want it working in IE, but we shouldn't set that up as a blocker for ourselves.
Yeah, cool.
Okay, so and this new site has it's Bootstrap enabled and uses all that Bootstrappy stuff.
Yeah, it will be the if you remember the few links that I shared on the bug 242 on the GitHub. So it will be entirely based on those outlines. It will be an entire Bootstrap.
Okay, great. What's after? What are you going to do after this site? What's the first feature you're going to be working on?
After the site is up, next will be my the creator app. So as Greg has suggested me to create a form and then create a JSON and then add the vocab and context to it, I'll use it that way.
Okay.
So and then I generate it, and it will be a small, I guess, I don't think so it will be a much of JavaScript issues. Because at the end, the printing and all will be catered.
I didn't quite understand that.
I'm sorry. So I think it will be it won't take much of a time, because. Hello.
Yeah, we're still here. That's just someone joining the call and leaving.
So what I'll do is I'll make a form and then create a JSON, and from that we'll create a JSON with leading to a JSON LD.
Okay. Okay. All right. That sounds good. Is there anything, any help that you need from us over the next week?
Maybe, again, a lot of work has to be done from my end. I think all the final decisions will be where I will need your help before pushing it. One thing can be in the for the LinkedIn. How is the website up? So if I push it, who will commit it? Just you guys have.
I don't think you have commit access now. We're going to hold off on commit access for you for a couple of weeks. One of us will do a pull request. Do a pull request, and then we will pull it down whenever. You want to, and the second we do the pull request, the second we pull the code in, the site detects that the change happened and the site will update itself. It should be a pretty quick cycle. So whenever you do a pull request, within a couple of hours, we'll have it live on the site as long as the pull request looks good.
Cool. So what I'll do is by tonight, tomorrow I'll file two pull requests. One will be for the index page, and one was the other page where it shows the three transformations.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Any questions for Vikash before we move on to the next topic? Okay. Vikash, you're off to a great start, so we're very excited and looking forward to seeing what the site looks like with the updated changes.
Just a second.
Sure.
So these will be the two pull requests for the initial designs. One is the index page and the other is the playground page.
Okay. Looking at it now.
What's going to be the recommended path for comments and such? We'll just put in GitHub issues or
yep.
What?
Yeah, put it in a GitHub issue, and then we'll start assigning it to Vikash, anything that needs to be changed.
It's already in the GitHub in this link. I've already filed an issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and the new site looks fantastic, Vikash. Really.
Yeah, it looks great. It's
very professional. Okay. All right, let's move on to the next topic. Thank you, Vikash. Let's talk about reverse properties. This is a feature that we've more or less come to an agreement that we're going to add it. We put it in not necessarily knowing if there were use cases that people really had for it, and since we put it in there, now that it's coming up again, that we have to resolve to keep it in the JSON LD spec, we're getting feedback from people that say that it's an important feature for them, and we haven't had any requests to take it out, it seems like consensus is around us keeping this feature in there. Does anyone disagree with that statement?
No, I'll just echo what Danbury said, a big endorsement in on that. And that was based upon a work we did as a semantic hack with Sandro over the weekend, where he's working on various D3 representations of the schema.org class hierarchy. And I was able to pretty easily simply deserialize to transform schema.org into JSON-LD, and then couldn't do it with framing, but I was able to transform it into a recursive child relationship, and it just plugged it in with the D3 examples with no code changes.
Awesome.
So that speaks quite well for the capability of that.
Okay. Any other comments on this feature?
I say we make the proposal to just
okay.
Put it in officially.
Sure. I'm trying to find it. Unfortunately, I can't find the proposal that he put there. I know it's here somewhere.
By the way, this is a gist that includes the resulting hierarchy document and the little bit of Ruby code there that creates it.
Yeah, I took a look at that the other day. It looks it's pretty impressive. Nicholas, we can't hear you. Okay, here we go. I think I found it. yeah, I am. Here we go. So the proposal I support reverse property using JSON LD 1.0, plus 1, minus 1, plus 0. Vikash, feel free to plus 1, plus 0, minus 1. all right, well, there you go. Done. Next up is blank node. next up is blank node labeling. I don't think we can really talk about this because the RDF working group hasn't really made as much progress as we would have liked them to on this, or rather it's still contentious in there, and this group has already stated that we think that blank nodes should be allowed for predicates and graph labels. So has anything changed?
No, it's still being actively discussed.
Yeah, the discussion restarted in the RDF version.
there's no reason really talking about what might happen if they reject it again. Because previously, it wasn't going to be in there, and we agreed, consensus was that it's fine for JSON-LD to have that extension in there.
Well, you know, there is a meta discussion to have, though, and it does also relate to how we deal with bnode predicates, and that is, what is the is there any change of behavior of the 2RDF step required, or is there a flag necessary, say, to ensure that only triples that are valid according to RDF 1.1 context are emitted? Because that, if we were to resolve that, then it would, the details of that would change based upon if bnode identifiers are end up being allowed as graph nodes or not. There certainly are use cases, at least for bnode graph identifiers, that would say we would want the ability to emit them, even if it was not legitimate RDF. In fact, there are also use cases for bnode predicates, and it's not unlike what you would do with a notation 3 parser right now, which can emit those types of things.
Yeah. So another piece of information, I saw somebody, I think it might have been Ed Summers on Twitter, said that he just pointed at an example where they merged GeoJSON and JSON-LD, and this is the first time they've been able to do it in a fairly clean way. And all of the predicates that they were using were blank node identifier predicates. So their use case, you know, previously we've been talking about this feature as this thing that's just conceptually it's a nice thing to have. You know, it might have a use case. And specifically, you know, in JSON, those keys are effectively blank node identifiers. But now we've seen something in JSON-LD where they were using blank node predicates, and they meant to. They knew what they were doing, and they meant to use blank node predicates for the GeoJSON stuff.
It would be nice to get a review of, or a description of why that is. This has come up from time to time, and I've never heard a particularly good case for it. Mm-hmm. But I'm not saying there isn't one. It would be nice to get that recorded. Maybe they could send it as a comment to the RDF working group.
But in any case, I think that there still may be value in having an option to suppress outputting triples which are invalid according to RDF 1.1.
Absolutely. I totally agree with that idea that we should have, I would say basically it's a, you know, by default, you should only output RDF, but there should be a flag to say output generalized RDF, including whatever features we want that the RDF working group has restricted from standard RDF or extended RDF, something like that.
Okay, so are we discussing a flag to...
It would be a flag to RDF.
That says transform blank node identifiers into... I thought we went down this road before, and we said we're just not going to say anything about it.
The problem with transforming blank node identifiers using Scalamization is it's... Scalamization happens according to a given, say, server address. That's an important part of it. I'm not sure that that's a very useful thing for us to do. And that's probably better done at the RDF level. It might be a flag that says, do not output quads, which would be illegal. So quads in which the... Excuse me?
I think it would be fine to scalamize you don't have to scalamize with that server address. I mean, I guess this isn't official, but I'm sure we could scalamize with a W3, you know, address that was allocated for UUIDs. That would be fine.
Marcus is on the queue.
And maybe have that be a scalamization function that you can override if you've got a better one.
The question I'm asking myself is, since we just specify a quite generic algorithm and don't specify an API for it, isn't that something which has to be done like on a layer above that algorithm? So
that's
on the consuming side?
Yeah.
Good point.
There are other bigger issues when you do the scalamization, which is, you know, graph normalization and all those other things that play into it. I'm still unconvinced that we can pick good scalam IDs for some of these graphs, for the graph labels and for the predicates. That algorithm is incredibly complicated when you get into some of the edge cases.
Yeah, maybe adding a note though that suggests that if people might, that this is a pure algorithm and actual users of it might need to do some additional steps to get it to conform to their the requirements of their environment.
Okay. So this is a added note. The proposal is added note to the to RDF algorithm warning developers that blank node predicates and graph labels will have to be translated before the two RDF algorithm is run in order to ensure compatibility with RDF concepts 1.1. Is that reasonable?
Do we want to say since we don't even know if graph labels will be supported?
Sandra, is that you? It might be at you that's echoing.
Yeah, let me get some headphones. I'm just trying to do this via IP now.
Dave Longley, I missed what you said.
Yeah, I was just saying, do we want to say may instead of will? I mean, it's certainly a may for graph labels. We don't even know what decision is going to be made.
Yeah.
And if we just say may, then whatever environment you're working in, you can make that decision.
And what Marcus just put in the IRC channel, I think, is enough. What we already have in the spec, basically. Does anyone disagree that what we have in the spec isn't enough?
So there is no flag on the API. It's required that they reduce it to normal RDF?
Yeah, if they want to go to RDF and they have data that has predicates as blank nodes or draft labels as blank nodes, then they have to convert that over. They have to rename those things.
And we don't tell them how or anything, and that's just up to the library implementation.
Exactly right.
Yeah, that seems okay.
Okay, all right. So then we have no changes needed to the spec for this issue, and we're just waiting for the RDF working group to come to a decision on it. Any disagreement with that before we move to the next item? Yes, that was Sandro speaking. Okay.
I guess my one thought there is sort of tangentially is I'm just trying to figure out whether it would actually be helpful. Let me go meta a little here. So I think there's not a lot of us talking about that, and there's more people talking on the other side, and yeah, I guess it doesn't really help to have other people join in as long as all the points you could make are being made. But if you follow that argument and some argument you can think of isn't being made, then by all means, join in.
You mean on the discussion in the RDF working group?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you. I find it difficult for us to keep making the same points we've been making for the past year, kind of, you know, I feel like we'd just be repeating them, and that this group has taken a very strong position on what we want to see happen. It would be unfortunate if those arguing against it think that it's just one or two people just kind of, you know, doing it on a whim. Like we have, I feel, given very clear guidance to the RDF working group on what we want to see happen. And we're waiting for the RDF working group to have a discussion. I realize that many of us are in the RDF working group as well, but I feel like the discussion makes it seem as if there are more people in favor of not allowing blank nodes as graph labels than they are for. I don't know if that's actually true, but it seems to me that a lot of people, a fair number of people want to give this a shot, and no convincing technical argument has been raised to counter why we should not do this, other than it's going to be kind of hard for some of the previous implementers to put it into the system, into their systems. So, Sandro, I don't know what you want us to say. I feel like we've said, you know, I feel like we'd be repeating ourselves if we continue to kind of beat on this drum.
Yeah, I suspect that not everybody participates in every discussion,
mm-hmm.
So some degree of repetition is sometimes necessary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, an email saying, you know, perhaps you missed when I said this before, but
right.
if somebody clearly isn't taking into account something you said before, because probably they didn't read it or maybe they forgot. Then a polite repetition, I think, can help.
Okay.
But I don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
I agree.
Right.
I think
I think all of us are slightly frustrated with the conversation because it just keeps going around and around in circles. I think that Jason Aldi is just going to support it. Unless there's some serious, you know, blowback from the RDF working group, and it doesn't seem like there's going to be that at this point.
So I guess are you guys willing to give up on blank node predicates if you got blank node graph names? Because that would give us the big win of.
It seems like a negotiation at that point. Right, and I think that it's bad to do negotiation on technical features that have been proven to be useful, or that there's a clear technical argument for why those features exist. So I feel like at that point we're making the discussion more political than it needs to be. I think the argument is, look, we have a very clear use case for blank nodes identifiers for graph names or graph labels. We have a very clear line of thinking on blank nodes for predicates, and we have outlined that thinking for both of those approaches. No one has been able to counter either one of those arguments on a technical basis. You know, and at the end, like it's a really clear logical argument for both of them. And I feel like a lot of the counter arguments are, well, we haven't traditionally done this, or it's going to be, you know, you're asking the implementers to do a lot of work to support blank node predicates and blank node graph labels. So it's not, those aren't very convincing technical arguments for why we shouldn't have the features, at least in my book. Does that make sense, Sandra, or? We can't hear your audio if you're speaking. Okay, Sandra, we can't hear you if you're speaking, so we're going to move on. All right, next topic up is RDF issue 129, lossless conversion, which is also something that Sandro brought up. Oh, that's unfortunate. Let's see.
Yeah, it sounded like you fell down the stairs.
Probably not. Okay, lossless conversion issue 129. I think this is what's going to end up taking most of the call. Marcus, would you mind giving kind of some background on your thinking on this issue, and then I know Dave Longley has a few things to say, and I know Sandro and Greg probably have something to say on this issue as well.
Sure. So the discussion here, basically there are two positions. One is to move the conversion from native types to literals to strings to expansion or compaction, whereas the other opinion is to keep that in the 2RDF algorithm. I think we should keep it in the to and from RDF conversion algorithm because, in my opinion, that's the place where they belong to. And a JSON-LD processor which never converts to RDF or from RDF doesn't really need to deal with that, or the application can do that. So we don't need to add complexity to JSON-LD processors which don't use RDF algorithms. The other question is how the conversion should work in detail. So for example, if a number is converted to a literal, should that be done by using the fraction as we currently do? So if there is no fraction, it becomes an XSD integer. Otherwise, it becomes an XSD double, or do we want to simplify that to just convert to XSD doubles in all cases? Because, well, internally in JavaScript, at least, also integers are floats or floating point numbers, and in certain cases, like if you have a double which looks like 5.0, it would become an integer. And the other thing.
There is another argument for if it were done as part of compaction, then it could potentially make use of the typecasting associated with a property that it's being used in order to get to the appropriate format.
But type coercion does apply just to strings, right? So it never applies to numbers or booleans.
But if it was a string, then the type conversion could convert it to a number, like to an XSD int, and then it could be converted as part of about approximately the same step into a JSON number.
So are we now talking about the reverse steps, literal to native type?
Going to native types doesn't matter because you're going to do that, which could be done, as you pointed out, just as easily in in the RDF transformation phase based upon whether it's already considered to be an integer, double, or other numeric type. It's the other way around. When you're going from a number to a string that could potentially make use of information in the context in order to get the appropriate output form. So if I had a property which had type of XRC decimal, and I had a string that had a number that, when transformed, would still be in the lexical form of an XSD decimal, then you could create an XSD decimal in the output.
Yeah, but I mean that would change our algorithms quite dramatically, because currently I think we only use type coercion or language tagging if it's a string. Otherwise, it is as it is. So it gets expanded to, well, currently an XSD integer or XSD double or a Boolean, XSD Boolean.
Okay, we've got a queue. Sandro, you're on the queue, and then Dave Longley.
I have not used the JSON-LD API ever, so obviously I don't have a whole lot of weight in this, but my feeling is you would really want this in expansion and compaction, because even if I'm not going anywhere near RDF, if I get some JSON-LD maybe from a different part of my code or maybe across the net, and my code wants to be really simple and just deal with numbers, then I'm going to want to, you know, it might come in with XSD types on the various numeric things. So I would want a root, maybe even a separate function, but I would want a function that just converts all numeric XSD types to number so that I can use numeric operations on them. That seems like something I'd really want. And then going the other way, I think I would expect all numbers to just go to double, because anything else is going to be pretty fuzzy. I mean, it's going to be lossy whatever you do, so double is sort of the least lossy, because that's that's the best guess you can make, I think. Unless your native platform actually has more type information, in which case you could use whatever it has. I mean, I guess to make one more argument for why it should be an expansion compaction is that I really want to dissuade people from doing this as part of converting to RDF, because when you're converting to RDF, you're basically sending it somewhere else. And I think it's generally a really bad idea to do this before sending somewhere else unknown, because you don't know how they're going to convert it. So you'll have this loss that you can't do anything about.
Dave Longley.
So, in taking a second look at this, I noticed that something that we might actually want to have here is a little bit more fine-grained control over what numbers get converted and what don't. So, as an example use case, if you're pulling in a bunch of data from RDF, and some of the data you want to work with, other data you don't care about, but you want to keep it around, what you're going to end up doing is you're going to probably have some type coercions for the various properties that you know about, and you might put number data types in those type coercions, and you might know that you can work with numbers without incurring any loss by specifying certain properties in your context. So did I just lose audio, or just Sandra?
Just Sandra.
Okay. So, in other words, you might want to be able to just convert certain native numbers based on what's in your context, because you're going to be working with those. And you want to leave the other things alone, because you don't know what's going to happen with them, and you don't want to cause any loss. And so what we might want to do is I'm considering these other arguments for doing native number conversion during compaction, but we might also just want to have the option to do it in both places. And if we want to avoid tightly coupling XSD to JSON-LD, what we could do is have an option in compaction where you can specify the data types that you want to have converted to native numbers. So, for instance, in IRC, we might want to have a compaction option that says convert to native numbers, and then you can list the types, the data types that you would like to convert. And we could make it so that the only things that get converted are those things that you've type coerced in the context. And that way everything else gets left alone because you know you're not going to be, you know not to mess with it. And that can help give a little bit more fine-grained control over what gets converted to a native number and what doesn't. And that seems to me to be a more effective way of using this feature. And it also helps you avoid loss where you don't really know what you're doing with the data.
Right. So this came up in some of the PayStorm use cases, the web payments use cases. I believe we were looking to 1 or 2 years down the road and seeing there being a problem with native type conversion. Nicholas, sorry, you're on the queue.
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Great. I don't have strong opinions on the details here. I think I've had the same idea as Dave regarding putting it in both places, because from what I've understood, there are two use cases which we need to cater for. And one is to be able to treat numbers as numbers, so that once you have your reasonably in the compact form, your JSON, you want to be able to add and subtract just by using the values. So you really want to be able to have the numbers as numbers. At least for integers, because floating point representations are problematic. And that part speaks for controlling which types are converted. Because the other case, so the first case is treat numbers as numbers, and the other is preserve lexical representation. And of course, they are in opposition in various places. So it seems that it might be necessary to be able to control this in both places. Because the first case, if you get JSON-LD and you have the JSON-LD API or the algorithms, you might want to recompact to get native numbers from the things you want to compute as is. And then the other case, at least when you do from RDF, you want to ensure that you preserve the exact lexical representation because you're using JSON as an intermediate somewhere in a pipeline.
Right. So let's see. Sandra is unfortunately locked out of the call for some reason. Marcus, Greg, did what Dave Longley say resonate with you at all?
It does, and we discussed that before. The only thing is, if we make such a dramatic change now, it means we go to another last call. And, I mean, it's certainly nice, but you could also do that as a kind of proprietary extension to your JSON-LD processor, and we specify it then in the next iteration of the standard.
Yeah,
I don't. I wouldn't worry too much about going to another last call, since I don't feel that there is a major urgency to get it out, and there's really perhaps only one opportunity to get it out right. So I wouldn't necessarily use that to say we shouldn't do something.
Well, so to counter that a little bit, I'd really rather we get JSON-LD 1.0 done and out there. I don't really see this native number conversion thing as something that, for example, if we took Marcus's approach, I think that would be perfectly fine as long as all the implementations just kind of agreed to do the right thing this time around. There's also an argument that maybe this isn't another last call. Like this is not necessarily as significant. You could argue that this isn't really a substantive change. It's not a significant change because all we're trying to do is just tweak the API so that it does the right thing with number conversion. So there might be an argument there to just go to candidate rec with this. Did we call this out
well,
at all?
But also, as we noted before,
risk.
This isn't an API issue. The issue is that of fidelity of data types during RDF transformation. That's algorithmic. It's not. There's no API for it. So I'm not sure that really is such an issue. I was swayed by Marcus's reasoning that this could be done using, I think, perhaps by putting a wrapper around it, doing a you convert your JSON-LD to RDF and then back from RDF to JSON-LD with one call. My first thought was, well, but that's going to upset the structure of the data. But given that the use case is really the case where it's coming from RDF, in which case it's going through the from RDF API call, it already comes out in the sort of fully expanded flattened form. So I don't see that there's any harm that's done by doing that. There is perhaps another use case that doesn't involve RDF round tripping where you might want to do these types of number transformations. But I don't think that was the compelling argument that caused me to reconsider this.
You do have to keep in mind, though, that there's still the issue where if we're going to do all the native number conversion during the RDF conversion, there's no fine-grained control over what gets converted. So if you're aware of certain properties that you know are going to have integers in them that are within a certain range or meet certain they have certain properties that you know are going you won't lose any data on, and you can specify those in the context and work with them. If there's other data that's in there that you want to preserve, you have no control over that, and you're going to end up losing data. And since
I hear that. On the other hand, this is an issue that we've dealt with for quite a long time, and we had decided to do what we did. And in this case, I don't see that there's any new information that's entered the fray that would cause us to need to revisit that. I mean, I don't want to take a hard line on this, and I could really go either way, but I think a minimalist approach allows this to be done through the RDF conversion with a proviso that we sort of change the default sense of that flag so that by default we don't lose data. And then a wrapping API could be used on a client that didn't even need to know RDF was involved at all, which does the expansion and compaction simply by going, or rather, which does the to RDF, or to native and from native, simply by making use of the to and from RDF algorithms.
So let's back up the stack a bit. The initial concern, Sandra, are you on the call again, or are you locked out of the call? Unfortunate. So the initial concern, I think, was raised by Sandro, and Sandro was saying that he was worried about, you know, data fidelity issues. And I thought that our answer to that before was, well, if you're worried about data fidelity issues, don't convert to native types ever. Right? And I don't understand why that's still not an appropriate response.
Sandro, are you there?
Yeah, I just managed to reconnect.
Okay, so I just spoke for you in that I tried to summarize what your position was on this. Your initial position was, if I remember, you're worried about data fidelity issues. So when you convert to JSON-LD, you want to make sure that there's no data loss that happens. And with the default setting right now, it will try and convert to native numbers, and you will have data loss issues when that happens. There was a proposal that said, well, let's just make the default value to not use native numbers. So, by default, there are no data loss issues. But if you convert to JSON numbers, you're always running that risk. So there are more complicated approaches to addressing this issue. but they have the downside of making the algorithms more complicated, not necessarily addressing everyone's use cases or concerns, and you know, pushing us through another last call if we change too many things. So the question is really, you know, could we address this issue by just saying the use native types flag should be set to false in the to and from RDF, or in the from RDF call, and then if we leave it at that, would that address your issue?
Right. That's not the design I prefer, but you know, I don't necessarily have to be. I don't have to be happy here. Yeah. I mean, I would be okay with either doing that or just making a very clear warning that, you know, don't send native numbers across the wire.
Right.
I mean, that's the most important thing. It doesn't matter what you convert. Just don't send them across the wire. Unless it's to your own application, right? Don't send native numbers to somebody else's client.
Right. So what this, I think this approach would buy us time to solve this problem in the right way. I don't know if we have enough experience with this problem to come up with a good solution, and I'm afraid that we might, you know, do something in the last call stage that is going to do more harm than good. What we can do is just do a sledgehammer, you know, change. Just say, look, no, there's no native type conversion by default. If you do it, you do it at you know, and these are the risks if you do it. And then in the future, we can add another flag to even perhaps the compaction expansion calls in the to and from RDF that is more precise in the types of native number conversion that it does.
Okay, I'm convinced. Sounds good.
Yeah,
okay.
But I think that does not get around the need to give developers who might not otherwise even think about RDF a way to be able to transform between native and expanded number forms.
Right. I guess I'm hearing in Manu's thing the someday we'll add some more things that do more cool things, and that'll be something we add later. And
yeah, but there is something we can do now, which it at the very least would be an application note saying, if you do need to convert between these, you can use the, you know, combination of the flags with the from and to RDF to accomplish that, and at a slightly further along would be actually an API entry point which does that for you.
Okay, so are you saying that you'd rather us put a note in there to tell developers how they should do the conversion if they want to do it?
Just saying, if you need to do it, we could put a note in there saying use the from and to RDF algorithms using different combinations of the use native type flags to accomplish that. It's effectively the same as flattening at that point with transformation. Marcus had put out another proposal that maybe we can just make that easy by creating an API call that does that, which is different than adding a flag to expansion and compaction, and really doesn't require any new algorithms. It just is a wrapper.
Yeah. Well, I'm concerned that we're not going to get that right. It sounds simple enough now, but I mean, we were, Dave, we were talking about some of the details of this, and it gets kind of hairy down in the algorithms.
So how would you feel about an application note?
Yeah, that would be fine. I'd be totally fine with that. Is there anyone that would disagree with an application note? Okay, so it seems like we might have consensus then. So the approach is going to be the use native types is set to false. Instead of true, and we're going to add an application note such that developers understand how they can do these types of conversions properly using a different combination of flags to and from RDF.
And on the flag on conversion, we'll have an explanation about what risks you run if you set it to true.
That sounds very reasonable, I think. Okay. If there are no disagreements with that, we'll go ahead and do a proposal. The first proposal is the use native types flag should be set to false in the JSON LD API. And then the second proposal is an application notes to warn developers about the use native types flag and how to do native type conversion properly. So plus one, minus one, plus zero this. Yeah, that's right. Mark is the default value of. I'll change the proposal to state that more clearly. Okay, any more plus one, minus one, plus zeros? Okay. The next proposal is that we're going to add an application note to the JSON LD API specification explaining the risks of the use native types flag and how to do proper conversion to from native types using the to from RDF API. Let's see, to from RDF method.
Yeah, you know, that might actually be better as a non-normative section rather than a note, because it needs an example, I think.
Okay, add explanatory text. How's that?
We already have that data round tripping section. We could just add it there.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, proposals in IRC plus one minus one. Sandro plus one minus one, or I'll go ahead and resolve.
You don't see my plus one?
I do not, no. Just me.
It's probably just my network.
Okay.
I only see a plus one from Greg.
Well, that's the problem I had on Saturday.
Okay, resolved. Okay, I think that addresses issue 129, lossless conversion. Sandro, does that address your concerns?
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay. We're at 10:58, 2 minutes left in the call. We do have to talk about the government linked data working group feedback, but we can do that on the call next week. I believe we're out of last call two with the API this week, I think.
Yay.
So that means that we're going to try and move to candidate rec as soon as we get issue 135 resolved. I think it's mostly editorial changes that the government linked data work group wanted. So we should be good. Okay, so the call next week will be the government linked data working group feedback, just discussing it. We will see if there are any major changes, and if there aren't, we might try and take both specs to the candidate rec phase next week. Any questions or comments before we leave?
I do have a comment.
Talk
okay.
briefly
ahead,
about the issue Nicholas raised.
Oh, right.
Yes.
Let's do that on the call next week, mainly because I don't know if we're going to be able to do it in 2 minutes. Is that okay?
Well, yeah. I don't know. What's the timeline? I mean, the LC ends on today.
Yeah.
Do we want to introduce that change or implement that change? And if so, when do we publish the next version of the specs?
Right. So that's the discussion we need to have, and I don't know if we can have that discussion in 1 minute.
Well, LC means when comments are due. So comment has been received during that period. It does not necessarily mean that CR happens immediately after that, does it?
No, it doesn't. No,
I think we
have
time.
When to go into CR. Yeah, we could take 3 months if we wanted to go to CR. We shouldn't do that, but
okay.
There's certainly, you know, 1 or 2 weeks in here that we're going to be hacking on the specs to make sure that they're CR ready. And then the group will look at the specs and say, okay, we agree that it needs to be taken to CR, and then we need to get the RDF working group to see if they agree with that move as well.
We also need to reserve time to determine if there's any changes needed to the test suite and to publish it so that people can have a stable place to sit to test.
Exactly. Dave, you also said that you had something.
I was just going to say, I mean, we can talk about this again next week, but we didn't cover whether or not we wanted to make any changes with the other XSD data types for numbers. Were we planning on just keeping everything the same and just making the one change for changing the flag?
You mean letting people... you mean in the compaction call?
Well, Marcus had made a proposal to convert all of the various types of XSD numbers, and we didn't discuss if we wanted to consider that or how we would handle it. So, as it stands right now, I would guess that we're not changing anything.
Probably not, unless there's a very good reason to. And one of the very good reasons, too, might be if we can't make this change later in, like, JSON LD 1.1 or 2.0, then we might want to more deeply discuss it. So, for example, we might just say XSD is the default, and then you can provide different defaults in the future. That would be one way around it, I think. Does that make sense, Dave?
I don't think that's the issue. I'm not saying that you can use a different vocabulary for numbers. I'm talking about supporting things like short integers and unsigned integers and all the various number types that are defined in XSD. We currently don't support those. We only support integer and double because it vastly simplifies what processors have to deal with. But I'm just referring back to the fact that Marcus had suggested supporting the other types, and we didn't have a discussion about it. If Marcus doesn't feel very strongly about it, I'm fine with leaving things how they are.
Yeah, that's actually not something I proposed, but I think it was Pierre Antoine or Sandro, I can't really remember. And they said that if we are converting XSD types, we should convert all of them and not just pick two or three of them.
So maybe we should discuss that on the call next week as well, just to make sure we've got that covered, because we don't want to. Because we didn't really discuss that in depth. Okay, so we'll put that on the agenda next week as well. Okay, anything else before we go?
A quick question on the test suite. I recently updated the RDFlib JSON-LD support.
Cool.
To cover a lot of things, not all, but I didn't have much time. And the one thing that struck me was that does anyone know why in from RDF everything is added as a node, even if it's only used as an object? Specifically, if you add a type for a resource, you will end up with two nodes in the graph, one which will be the type having no other properties. is that intentional or something that we should investigate as a problem? Because it struck me as quite odd.
I think it's intentional. I think that's a change Marcus had instituted, because I remember having to update my processor to do that as well.
Could you just quickly repeat it? I was typing, sorry.
The issue is that when you now convert from RDF, you get more objects created. So if you have, for instance, a type, which you get an object created that has only an ID for that type, whereas previously we didn't do that. Nicholas was wondering whether that was intentional or that was a problem.
From RDF or in flattening?
From RDF.
I'm thinking from RDF, we didn't change anything, did we?
No, it does do that. It does create nodes for objects which are for things that are in the object position. It creates nodes. And the test specifically look for that.
Well, I don't know if we changed that or if that was always there, but
it was not always there. It was not there. It was during, I think, an update you made that was added. I presume that I had forgotten the context if we had discussed doing that, and I simply implemented it that way myself. But it's worth a discussion as to whether that is sort of the motivation for doing that, I guess.
It seems a little strange. I wouldn't expect that. I think
the reason for that is that the node map is generated as soon as a node is encountered, and I don't filter them anymore. Like, I don't filter out nodes which are, well, just node references in the end. So I think the change has to do with flattening, because we flatten the node map afterwards.
This is from RDF.
Yeah, but from RDF creates a node map, and then the node map is transformed to JSON-LD, I think, by flattening it.
All right, so it's just a byproduct of the implementation.
I think it's a byproduct.
It's certainly not incorrect. It just does creates the same extra objects that flattening does. So it's not wrong. It's a byproduct of the implementation strategy.
It's a bit noisy if someone wants to use flattened data, which I don't know if anyone really wants, but as is, the thing is that if you have a list of persons, for instance, with the home pages, it might be odd to have just doubling the amount of data with no actual statements being represented by those empty home page nodes.
So probably the way to address that would be to do it for both flattening and from RDF, and that would be to have the final step of those algorithms remove nodes which have only an ID.
Yeah. The counter argument to that is that doing it the way we are doing it currently, you just loop over that array and you get all the nodes in the graph. But yeah.
That's true.
Or not add anything which isn't the subject of a statement.
Yeah.
It's a little 11th hour to be revisiting those algorithms, though. And there's nothing wrong with them, except that they create some things that are arguably junk. But as Marcus just indicated, there is some value in it, in being able to identify all the nodes in the document without having to descend.
Yeah. Okay, so I have, we might want to talk about the from RDF creating nodes for things that are only in the object position, discussing support for XSD short and other integer types. What else was there?
253.
We should.
I really hope that's a simple thing, the first part at least, because it's,
Okay. All right. So that's going to be the agenda for next week, along with the government linked data discussion. So I don't think we're going to be able to go to CR next week, maybe the week after or the week after that. Okay, that's it. We're out of time. Thanks, everyone, for the great call today. And Greg, Sandra, let us know if we can do anything to support you guys while you're there at the conference. Okay, anything else before we go? All right, have a great week, everyone. Talk to you later.
All right.
Bye.
You too.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.